Well, very warm welcome to everyone who's come to the Gospel meeting tonight. And again, it is the highest privilege, and we don't say that just as something to say. It really is an honour to preach the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only message of salvation, the message of the only Saviour. That words of that verse we just sung, "Jesus alone can save me, all of my joys increase." That is the portion of the believer. Our joys increase. We see the Lord in everything. We're not perfect, we're sinners. We have dark moments in our lives like everybody else. The scripture says if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. But the believer having salvation has the joy of that salvation. And we have the joy of that salvation experienced in our life. And that's our prayer for you if you're outside of Christ tonight, that you'll know the joy of the Lord. Joy, and the message of joy, the gospel, is joyous because it's set upon the background of a message of doom and gloom. Not because God wanted to show off his gospel, so to speak, and we say that reverently, like jewelers show off their jewels and they just kind of form a dark background to show it off. No, not for that reason, but because there is a dark background. The dark background is there of sin and death and of judgment to come. That is a fact. That's something that man has brought upon himself, and that is the background. And God in love comes in with the gospel. God in love comes in with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shines against that background. So let's go to the scripture we're going to read tonight. It's in Hebrews in chapter 9, and I want to read from verse 23 down to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, down to the end of the chapter. And we're going to see a dark background tonight. Not because we want a dark background, not because that's what we need to show off the beauties of our Lord, but because there is that dark background. It's a fact of humanity. It's a fact of our state before God. And because that is the background that God has set the glories of his Son in time and space against. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, we'll begin our reading there. "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these." That is the Old Testament sacrifices. And the temple was sanctified, and the people were sprinkled, and all the Old Testament things that were sprinkled by the blood, and they were copies of the heavenly. It says, "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves, including those who are saved and who become inheritors of heaven, destined to occupy that place, the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." And here we go to the sacrifice. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And here's our text for tonight. "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin." Sin having been dealt with, that is, for salvation. He came in to deal with sin. He dealt with sin. And all those who trust in him are forgiven of those sins. He went back to heaven, ascended, risen from the dead. When he comes back again, a different purpose. Sin's dealt with. It's for salvation. To bring in the fullness of the effects of salvation, which his blood has purchased for his people. That's why it's a glorious gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ has done what the blood of bulls and goats could never do. Look at our text tonight, and we've read it. Verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. I want to look at divine appointments tonight. The scripture tells us that there are divine appointments have been made for mankind. And these are, if you're outside of Christ tonight, you have unmissable divine appointments. Unmissable divine appointments. If you're like me, sometimes you'll miss your doctor's appointment. Maybe you forget about it. Andrea's always telling me she should write things down. Sometimes I miss appointments. Dentist appointment. Take a bus trip, a train trip, you might miss the bus, miss the train. At the due to go at a certain time, you were there a minute too late. Saying nothing about the timekeeping of our public transport. But God tells us, if you're outside of Christ, you have divine appointments made. And they are unmissable divine appointments. Because you did not make them. And they are not dependent upon you for them being kept. These are appointments which God has made. These are appointments which God shall keep. That's what our text teaches us. As it is appointed for men, literally for the men. God's made creatures, heavenly creatures, all kinds of creatures, but for the men. For mankind. To die once, but after this, the judgment. There's two there. Death and judgment that comes after it. They have a following. They have a sequence. Death first and then the judgment. Now these have been made already. Now I've already said that these are divine appointments. God has made them. That's who has made the appointments. They will be kept in their time. The first one we'll look at, death. That is physical death. This seems to be the only kind of death that mankind is interested in. The only kind of death that man thinks about. Faced with the prospect, the possibility of having our physical life taken away, men tremble. Men get themselves all worked up into a frenzy. And that's right. Because if you have not got the Lord in your life, if you have not got Christ's forgiveness, if your sin has not been pardoned, you have everything to fear. But the scripture speaks about more than physical death. When Adam had sinned, he died spiritually that day. God said to Adam that he wasn't to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he was told, in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And that very day, Adam died spiritually. The scripture tells us that man is dead in trespasses and sins. Outside of Christ tonight, you are already dead in God's sight. Spiritually, you're already separated from the source of all life. Your sins, as Isaiah proclaimed, have separated between you and your God, the one who made you. You're severed from the one who has life, and therefore you're dead spiritually. There's another death coming, a second death, and that comes after men physically die. That's none of these two deaths are what's in view here. It's physical death, the death that man is interested in. And it's terrible that men are only interested in the physical life. And the only death they fear is the physical. But God comes down to our level to speak to us where we can understand. To speak to us about things which are of importance to us. He says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. This is a once death. This isn't a fast death or a sequential death, an ongoing death, a state of death. This isn't a future death, the second death. This is an appointment of a once death. It's physical. And we see that by looking at verse 28, for it says, as, verse 27, as it is appointed to men to die once, so Christ was once offered. That's physical death. Christ died a body. His body died upon the tree. The man Christ Jesus was offered for sinners, was offered for sin. Physical death. So God has come right down to that area where you're interested in. And I'm speaking to the sinner, the one that is out of Christ. Your heart and your mind, your whole life revolves around you, around the life you presently have. You're not giving any real thought to your spiritual condition that you're already dead. And on the basis of that, your death is secure. And if you remain like that, your second death is definite. You're interested in this life and physical things. God's speaking to you at your level. As appointed to you once to die physically. You will die. But you say, that happens to everyone. How could you say that? God's speaking to me, telling me it's appointed. Isn't that obvious? You're telling me something's going to happen to me that everyone knows is going to happen. You're stating the obvious. Is this supposed to be a spiritual message? You know, God is the one who brought death upon man for sin. That's what death is. What is it? The Bible tells us that, speaking to believers, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's speaking about the believer's physical death. Physical death, therefore, is not an end of your being. It's a going on to somewhere else. It's a departure, it's a separation from the body, a leaving from the world, a going off to somewhere else. And our text tells us here that when men die, after that is the judgment. We go off to the judgment. We spoke about the spiritual death and the death that is to come. You know, that physical death lies in between the two of those. It lies right in between the two of those. We're dead in sin and trespasses and sins. Our state, that's the way we come into the world. There's a second death coming if we remain like that, separated from Christ. Physical death lies between. It lies right between. It connects the two. It stands in the middle like a man with its hands on either side, and it grasps the two. Spiritual death, how you came into this world, how you continued in this life. Physical death grasps the death to come. Do you see your position tonight? If you're outside of Christ, that's how you are. That's how you are. You know, the second death that's to come is numbered. And the implication is that what happened to Adam and all mankind the way back in the garden was the first death. Physical death has no number given to it in Scripture. So you're interested in the physical life, and God comes down to you to speak to you at your level where your interest lies. You will die physically. That's an appointment. Therefore, you need to be ready for it. That death has no number given it in Scripture. That's interesting. You should adjust your priorities. God numbers, God takes account. The first, he takes account of the second, but there's nothing said about the middle as far as a number given to it. It's as if it's not tallied up, and God knows the death of every person. It's his appointment, he's appointed it. But we should think about what God thinks about. God puts priorities in certain things. It's not the physical life. There's more to life than this life. There's more to life than the death that's coming. That appointed death, the physical death. You know, and way back in Genesis, and then the chapter 4, going into chapter 5, two lines of people are mentioned, Cain's family and Adam's family. And Adam's family, you see a number of people mentioned there, and Adam had received the promise that there was a seed coming, and he believed in the Lord. And there's mention of those that died. Their names are taken down. But Adam had another son who was part of his family also, but he's mentioned separate from Adam's family, Cain. And there's an ungodly line mentioned there. And of those first believers, their line, it says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Cain's line, you read that at the end of chapter 4. There's no mention of death. He had his son, he had his son, he had his son, he had his sons, and he had a wee bit about them. No mention of death. The scripture tells us that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. He takes note of the death of those that are believing in him. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, is it necessary that God says, and he died when he's already dead? Therefore, your mind and your heart is only on the physical life. You're outside of Christ. You're taking note and you're fearing that physical death. You need to think and get your mind into line with the Lord's mind. The physical death isn't the most important thing. You are dead in trespasses and sins, and there's a greater death to come. You need to be prepared for it. That death that the Lord has brought upon man, this death, the physical death, it's a separation, it's a removal from it elsewhere, and after this the scripture said it's a judgment. Why has this death been appointed? Why has it been appointed? The scripture tells us why. Now we're thinking of this death as appointed to a man who wants to die. Why has it been appointed? God has appointed it. Why has he appointed it? Well, it's simple. The scripture tells us it's because you've sinned. Because you've sinned, God has appointed death for you. Let me read Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Death came into the world through sin, on the basis of sin. And thus, death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. That's why God has appointed death. Because all have sinned. Death has spread to all men. By sin, death came into the world. And that is why you have an appointment made. Don't you know that you're a sinner? If you're outside of Christ tonight, have you not felt your guilt many times? Have you not felt guilty and condemned at various times in your life? Has there never been those who come along and said, that was wrong? You should never have said that. You should never have done that. And you've known, no matter what you reply to them, that's right, I shouldn't have. Or you've known, I should have helped so-and-so. It was within your means to help them, to do something for them, even to go and say a word to them. Maybe someone had their facts mixed up and they were really troubled about it, and you knew the truth. And you let them squirm. No. Sin is the basis of your appointment that God has made to you, for you. Your sins. It spread to all men because sin is spread to all men. It's your wages. That's why sin is, why death is appointed for you. It's what you've earned. You deserve it because you've sinned. You deserve it because it's where you've employed your labour. That's what you've poured your energy into. Haven't you worked hard at the things you knew were wrong? Have you not worked hard at pushing yourself forward? Even in the light of the knowledge that I should stop from this and turn around and change. God is faithful in his witnessing. The Holy Spirit is active. I believe that every sinner feels that guilt. You have laboured in it. Let me ask you a question. Has it not been hard work? How often have you fallen on your face because of sin? How often have you got up wounded because of your sin? How often have you hurt or wounded someone else, and because you were so adamant to hold on to your sin, rather than acknowledge it, confess it, repent and come to Christ, you need excuses for yourself. Those you hurt, you insulted, by refusing to own up to the truth and say it was my fault. You're, by pride and commitment to sin, you've worked and worked and worked. And it's been hard work. And it's hurt you and it's hurt others. It's worn you out, continues to wear you out. Its end is that appointment that God has made. Death. That's its end. That's what you've worked in. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says these words to those who labour and are heavy laden. Those who have worn themselves out in their own works. Some work trying to be righteous, and it's a sinful work because it's aside from Christ. It's in their own righteousness, which the Bible says is like filthy rags. It's sinful. And those that work just want to go on and see if they could prosper in sinful living. Conscience being churned the whole time. The Lord Jesus says to those that have worked and laboured and sinned, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's why sin is appointed for you, because you have sinned. That death is appointed for you because you have sinned and because you have laboured and sinned. That's what you deserve. It's your wages. You've earned it. Note the universality of sin's reign. And Paul, he's writing again, he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of Adam's transgression. You might say to me, but you know, really, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried not to really do anything that was any worse than anybody else. The things I do are commonly accepted. It's the things that society acknowledges as the norm. Oh, I've killed a wee white lie now and then. Maybe I've not paid all my taxes. Maybe I've not been quite precise with bookkeeping or whatever it may be. There might be a number of things. You've spoken about somebody behind their back, but see that person there is a gossip. He puts the knife in whenever he can. He'll try and justify it. There's no white lies. They're black. They're lies. There is no sin that's pardonable. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of Adam's transgression. Adam sinned against open knowledge, perfect knowledge. There he was, a man who had perfect knowledge, a perfect man, a perfect understanding, a perfect grasp, a perfect memory. He didn't forget what God had said to him. He knew. Everything held perfectly, humanly speaking. That was a great transgression. We were fallen nature and our incapacity, sin. And there are differences between sins. You see that in this text. But death reigned from Adam to Moses. All of these, over Adam himself, over Moses himself, and of everybody in between, and we still see people dying, so over every human being who had not sinned according to the likeness of Adam's transgression. It wasn't the same as that. It wasn't as bad as Adam's in one sense. It wasn't as bad in the sense that it was a sin against knowledge in the same sense. But it was nevertheless a sin against knowledge, a lesser knowledge. It was still the same in principle. And God shows us in his word that no sin is pardonable on the basis of it being smaller. There's only one basis of pardon. Christ dying for our sins on the cross. Because God took all sin, the so-called smaller sins, the greater sins, and laid them on his Son. There can be forgiveness. All sin is under the reign of death. Because all sin deserves death. All sin has worked for the wages of death. That's why it is appointed. Your appointment to die by God is because you've sinned. God won't overlook it. on the basis of any argument or anything you would do. God can only pardon that sin on the basis of Christ dying for that sin. That's what God calls us to look to His Son. When it is appointed, that's what I want to think about next. When it is appointed, and I hope you see how drastic the situation is for you if you're out of Christ. No church going. Nothing at all can change the situation. No hearing of the gospel can change it unless it be the hearing of faith that lays hold on Christ as your Saviour. Nothing you do. And God wants to bring this before you. Your appointment, which He has made, a divine and unmissable appointment, which you will be at, because God's the one who keeps it. It's appointed once. Once. I miss appointments because I forget the time, not because I didn't know the time. We're not told the time here. We're only told this, that the appointment has been made by the appointment maker, and it will be kept once. When it is appointed, you don't know the time of your appointment. It's not been told to you. It's not dependent upon your timekeeping. Therefore, it is out of your hands. Do you see how drastically desperate it is for you to be ready for that appointment? It could happen tonight. You might be taken away tonight. Maybe you'll have a few years and you'll forget all about everything you've ever heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll willfully, more like it, put it out of your mind because you have a hold on your sin. God wants you to remember you are reaching out for that second death also. That's your caution. And once your appointment is coming. Once. This is a solemn, solemn message that we have. This is a desperate message. God has taken immense measures. Desperate measures. Speaking humanly. Because your situation is a desperate situation. God's wrath is upon you because of your sin. The appointment made by God. God has judged that it was necessary to make an appointment. Because your sin is lying upon you. You stand defiled in the presence of a holy God whose eyes are purer than to behold sin. And there you are parading it before Him. God judged it, the perfect judge of all, judged it necessary. An appointment has to be made. Something has to be done. Sin must be dealt with. Once it is appointed to men, once to die, but after this to judgment. Just so you need to be ready. You need to be ready for to meet your Maker. And we say that crying to the Lord as we speak and as the gospel is being preached, and He would open your eyes. Because if you're out of Christ, you have no idea when that appointment is. It's coming. God will keep it with you. There's a time for God. There's a purpose to everything under heaven, the scripture says. A time to be born. Let me ask you. What part do you have in planning your birth? Silly question. That's not too silly. If you reason that you have something to do with your going out of the world, that's as stupid and foolish a reasoning as it is to have even be asked the question, what did you have to do with your birth? One moment you weren't there. You had nothing to do with it. You had no planning. You weren't there to plan. God created you. God gave you your beginning. God gave you your birth. His hands were upon you. He formed you within the womb. He called you out of the womb. He put you in your life, put you in your family, put you in your country, gave you all things that you needed. The Apostle Paul said that he left not himself without witness. giving us fruitful seasons and all the things that we need. That same God who gave you your beginning will bring your end about, this physical end. And you need to be ready. But let's think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's a judgment coming after the death. There's a judgment coming after the death. And it's fearful. That's another appointment that's made by God. And that physical death seals that second appointment for you. Once you've died, this once we're speaking about, once it happens, you will never, ever, ever be able to erase your past. None of us can. But by the blood of Christ, to those that trust in the Lord, it can be blotted out. It can be washed away. It can be forgiven. Half behind God's back, buried in the deepest sea, the scripture says, and God can look at you as a new person in Christ. You die in your sins, and that physical death is like the stamp, the seal on your whole life. Everything written in the records of heaven are there forever. Everything that's written in the book of heaven concerning your sins and all you've done that God holds you accountable for, it's fixed. Will never be removed. Will never be erased. And in the day of judgment, that books will be opened, and there they shall appear before the judge who judges righteously. And there'll be no turning away from it. Appointed once. The lesson of our Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world. And we spoke about appointments and keeping appointments and missing appointments. I was thinking of an illustration of a picture that might bring this before us, because the example of the gospel is to set the perfections of Christ against the imperfections of man, the righteousness of Christ against the unrighteousness of man. And we have to think of our life like a train. I would view it like an express train. You know those trains where you go on and sometimes they don't stop at all except until they get to their destination. You go on, they go, and you go off at the other end. Or they maybe stop at another station. No, nobody stops in between, just another station where other people can get on and go straight to their destination and get off. We come into the world, sinners, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We come into the world and we grow like that, dead in trespasses and sins. And then we die if we've not turned to Christ, sealing our life of sin, having it sealed in the book of God, and we go off to judgment. Beginning, a middle, an end, like an express train. Our Lord Jesus Christ, if we could reverently think of him in the same terms, when he came into the world, different entirely. And he comes along beside us, and here's the thing I want you to think about. As you're thinking about your life outside of Christ, in your sins, and as you speed on to eternity, how are you going to get out of that life? How can you get out of that train, so to speak? How can you be conveyed over into Christ? Christ comes along beside us. And he lives his life for us, on our behalf. He lives it as a representative in place of us, so that all the righteousness God wants from us and deserves from us and is rightly angered about because we fail to give it, there beside us in time, Christ is coming among men. A holy life, a perfect life, having come from above. And prophecy, as written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Psalm 22, through David speaking as a prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Thou art my God from my mother's belly." He, unlike us, was formed in his humanity in perfection. A perfect humanity given to the eternal Son of God. And he came into time. And the Bible says he honoured the law. He glorified it. he magnified the law. He obeyed in everything. And you know, his life came in like ours. Physically, humanly speaking, he came in and had a time to be born. He lived through his life so sinlessly perfect that he could say to everyone, now those who watched him intently, looking for a fault, which of you can convince me of sin? None could answer a word. He said of himself in every area where we would fail and disappoint God and make God angry, I always do those things which please him. He could pray directly to the Father. No go-between, no mediator, no need of one, because he was always in union with the Father. And say, Father, I know that you always hear me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, so perfect. He came in and he had his end physically upon this earth. He died. He died in judgment. You have an appointment made from God to die and an appointment made to go to judgment. But why not look to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what you're called to do. That's what we're all called to do, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God tells us that he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given the whole world assurance about this, that he is the rightful judge and that he raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do? To look to him. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all mankind, all kinds of men to me. I will draw all unto me. Through the prophet Isaiah, he says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. He says about himself, I am God and there is none else. Scripture says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Do you see that he has done everything that will be demanded of you? He came in righteous, yet the death that is appointed for you, the death that's appointed for me because of sin, Christ dies on the cross. He was lifted up from the earth, dying for our sins. He went from there to be with the Father because sin was fully paid for. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you look to him. Your death is already, your appointment of death has already been made, already been fulfilled. Oh yes, you may die. But as a Christian, the Bible doesn't call it death. The Bible calls physical death sleep for us. Speaking in terms of judgment, not in terms of physically spirit going from our body. Speaking in terms of judgment for sin. If you trust in Christ, your appointment with death as a judgment for sin has been fully met. Oh yes, you'll die, and yes, that will be because of sin. But in God's records, because of Christ dying in your place, and because your faith in him, at sleep, the believer sleeps, and we rise again with Christ. The judgment was met at the cross. When we trust in Christ, that's what Christ was being judged for. That's what that death was all about. You see, death and judgment brought together, how interconnected they are. That's why your physical death must be a death that has been, that you enter into as a righteous person. Because if you don't, the appointment has been made for death first and then judgment after. And if you die unconverted, that death which you will experience will lead on to judgment which you will experience. And you will not be acquitted of your sins in that day. Death and judgment are connected. And so when you look to the cross at the Lord Jesus Christ dying, recognize that was judgment also that brought together there. That's where our death, where our judgment has been met by God in mercy. God has laid our death and our judgment upon his Son, so that all who would trust in him would be forgiven of their sins. May go off into eternity knowing that to go to glory. So dear soul, if you're outside of Christ tonight, God's command is to turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in what God's eternal Son done at the cross, died for our sins, was judged for our sins, buried, rose again the third day to show himself the rightful Saviour of all that trust in him. May God grant you the grace to repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the finished work which he has accomplished at the cross. We thank you, Father, for the mercy which warns us of an appointed death, a once death, Lord Father, which will seal, Lord Father, the doom and the judgment of all who are outside of Christ. Thank you for the mercy which has revealed these things to us. Lord Father, thank you for the heart which you reveal in telling us these truths, the heart of love, which desires, Lord Father, men, all men, to return and to repent and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. We thank you, Father, for that love which so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that all believing in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Grant faith in this place, Lord, to any outside of Christ, any hearing the gospel, Lord, over the internet. O Lord, we ask and we depend entirely upon your power alone to convert, and we look, Lord, to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.